And so today we're going to talk about bad decisions. We talked about bad decisions with Adam and Eve and how the devil can distort the Word of God, and we make bad decisions. Today I think we're going to deal a little bit more with the flesh. Now you have three enemies. You have the devil, you have the world, and you have the flesh. Now, the devil is terrible. But the Bible does say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible says the world's our enemy. This is the victory that overcometh the enemy, even our faith. I don't have to be in the world, and you don't have to be in the world. But I have a hard time getting away from the flesh. It just seems like wherever I go, it goes. Amen? And so I want to talk to you a little bit about how we let the flesh, the desires of the flesh, sometimes get the best of us, overwhelm us, and cause us to go a direction we ought not to go. Abraham has come into the land. He has received the promise of God to possess the land. It would be his. It would be his family's for generation after generation. And eventually that would turn into the covenant with David that Jesus Christ would rule on David's throne in this land. So chapter 12, verse 10. And, all right? So if you look at verse 9, the Bible says, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Now I'm going to tell you what, that's down. I like people whenever they talk about people that are in the south going down. If you're in the south, you got to come up. Amen? Yeah, we're going to go down to the north. Well, it's just something, okay? Just trying to get you. Might as well just get in the mood for preaching this morning. Amen. You. When you start going south, you're going down. We know that. Amen. All right. So the Bible says, "And Abram journeyed, going still toward the south, down. And there was a famine in the land." Now, if you don't know what a famine is, that's when rain has been withheld and produce and prosperity have withered away. Okay? And Abram went down into Egypt. Now, Egypt in your Bible is always a picture or a type of the world. Okay? And so there was a famine in the land. Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. I'll just live there for a while. For the famine was grievous in the land. So this was just not your ordinary run-of-the-mill famine. This thing was getting pretty rough on people. Food was scarce and prosperity was scarce. It came to pass when he came near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife. All right, now think about this. He's 75 and she's 65. Okay, so these are not 20-year-old people. All right, and he's getting ready to go and he says, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Well, that was a nice compliment, wasn't it? Amen. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Seems like old Abraham was a little more concerned about him than he was her. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come down into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. She is nice. She's good to look upon, is what he said. The prince also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. You might want to underline, if you underline in your Bible, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Treated him well for her. And he had sheep and oxen and she asses and men servants and maid servants. Now that maid servant's going to come back to get Abram in a few more chapters. And she asses and camels. The Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. And now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they have sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. Now, with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to preach on bad decisions inspired by the flesh, inspired by the ingenuity that we brag and boast ourselves to have today. By the way, Miss Nolan Allen, I saw Brother Eric, had a good time of fellowship with him. He only skipped class on Friday. Didn't go to class, just so you'll know. And he said, "Well, I get to skip five times before they get worried." And so he skipped Friday. He didn't go to class. He came to preaching and really came to eat. He said, Thursday night, whenever we ate there, he said, "This is the first home-cooked meal I've had since college." And he said, "Fast food is getting rough on us." Amen. So if you talk to him, say, "How's school going? Have you skipped?" Because I just told he did. Amen. So bad decision. That wasn't a bad decision, by the way. That was a good decision to skip school and center the preaching of God's word. And some of the other boys and the preacher was there as well. All right. Father, thank you for the day. Bless the reading and preaching of your word. In Jesus we ask. Amen. I said last week, I'll say it again this week, there's not a person in this room that at some point in time has not made a bad decision. And bad decisions seem in my life to come very easy. Amen. Do things I probably ought not to do. And so today I just want to maybe challenge you, maybe encourage you, maybe help you to avoid bad decisions. Because here's the thing. You never know if it's a bad decision until the fruit starts coming. And then it's too late to undo the bad decision. And there is some things that we can do to avoid them. Number one, the cause. If you look back there in chapter number 12 and verse number 10, verse number 9 says Abram's in this land and he's just going south. And there wasn't anything with going south because the land was his, and God said wherever your foot is, your foot steps, you know, that would be your land. So it really wasn't that problem. But he ends up in a place where he ought not to be. He ends up in Egypt. And there's got to be some reasons why people make bad decisions. I mean, we just can't make them without knowing what would be the cause, or what would inspire somebody to make a bad decision. If you are a Christian today, these bad decisions you make for your life, for your family's life, because he's going to make it for his family. You men in here, listen up. We as the leaders of our home can oftentimes make smart, intelligent, bad decisions and lead our family into a spiritual crisis and a spiritual decline that they may never recover from. Never recover from. Such as Lot. Lot got a taste for the world, and Lot went the way of the world later on in life. And I know that we've heard these so many times and from me and from other preachers about abstaining from the love of the world and the things of the world. Listen, when people get a taste for the world, it's awful hard to get that taste out of their system. So just stay out of the world. Amen. The cause. There has to be a cause. So I wrote down two things as I look at Abraham. You know, the Bible says that Abram he journeyed. Now, It wasn't that he was there where he was and thought, you know what, I'm sick of being here, I'm just going to go south. No, it wasn't that. The thought is this. He gave lack of attention to the things of God. Now have your Bibles there. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 2 for just a minute. I want to read you a verse, and then we'll come back there. And I want to read the verse. I want you to look at the verse, because the verse has great importance to us. Hebrews chapter 2. The reason why people make bad decisions is the lack of attention to things that are right. The lack of attention. And here's what Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Right. Now the tendency in bad decisions is we fail to give earnest heed to the things that we know we ought to be doing. Spiritual things. Well, I'll just not put very much emphasis in my life on this or on this or on this. I'll just slip away. That word, it has an idea of drifting. I got an idea going south. Going south a little bit here. Going south a little bit here. Going south a little bit there. And all of a sudden, you have lost the sight and the place where God has for you to be in your Christian life. And it came as a result of not giving good attention. Have you ever heard these things from the teacher? Pay attention. I don't know why they would direct that to us. I guess maybe because they realized that we were drifting. Maybe in church we ought to have a time throughout the service where I say, pay attention. Because have you ever sat in church like I have, and all of a sudden you're physically here, but you've done left. And you're out doing something much more enjoyable as it appears to you and to me. Or you have thought on different, you know what? I wonder what we're having for lunch. Huh. Well, rained last night. Guess I have to mow the grass this week. Guess Tuesday would be about as good a day as any to do that. Sure would like to. And all of a sudden, you spent 30 minutes of the service and you ain't even paid attention. How easy is it to not give attention to the things that we ought to in our spiritual lives, and all of a sudden they just slip? Prayer time can just slip away. Bible time, devotion time can slip away. Church time, activity time in the things of God can just slip, and all of a sudden, one day turns into two, turns into weeks, turns into, and all of a sudden you've been a long time doing the things that you ought to do. So we a lack of attention. Now, I'm telling you, that is a serious spiritual problem for everybody that is present, and especially those not present in this room today. You are not super saint that does not need careful, persistent, daily attention to spiritual things. If you don't, they'll slip. Second of all, the loss of sight. He's going down into Egypt where he is losing sight of what God has given him. See, there's a famine. So he has been told by God, promised by God, that everything in that land, and that God would sustain him and keep him. And he was going into Egypt, where apparently the famine was not, and he was going to begin to rely upon himself and others to fulfill what he needed. You know what? In our Christian lives, the cause of our bad decisions is we lose sight of the promises of God. You see, we get to living in this world thinking this world is our home. We're not pilgrims passing through. We're pilgrims dwelling. Remember Isaac, who came up out of that long journey, or Jacob, who came from that long journey with Laban, and should have gone back to Bethel. And instead, the Bible says, after he met Esau, he dwelt in Shechem, and he bought him some ground, and he built him a house. And there's a whole lot of Christians today who are losing sight of the promises of God, that this world is not our home, that God has promised us a heavenly land, and that that is what we are to be seeking. And Abraham lost sight of that promise of God, and he also lost sight of the provision of God. That God had called him here, it was God's job to take care of him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God's provision for you is very bountiful. As long as you stay in the boundary that God gives you. When we begin to journey southward into Egypt, then God is no longer responsible for our provisions. Did Abram eat down there? Sure did. Did he prosper down there? Sure did. Was it from God? Sure wasn't. I've heard people say this. You've heard people say this. If not these exact words, you've heard them imply this. I know how to be in church, but you know what? I'm making good money. Things are going well. We're going to read it. In fact, you could look at it in chapter 13 back there if you want. In chapter 13, the Bible says, "And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold." Oh, he prospered in the world. Sure. But none of it was provided to him by God. He lost sight of God's power. God's power to what? God's power to keep him. Who in the world do you think sent the famine? Where did the famine? Who's in control of the weather? Not Mother Nature. I just cringe whenever Christians say, Mother Nature. No. No. God Almighty is in control of the weather. And God sent a famine. And let me say this. Sometimes God lets famines, dry times, come in your Christian life. Remember old Hezekiah? Whenever the children or the people of Babylon came over, and the Bible said God never said a word to him, but just wondered, looked, watched what he would do. Sometimes dry times come in your life because God wants to know what kind of faith you have. Oh no, preacher, God has to... No, sometimes dry times come in your life because God wants to see what kind of faith you have. Amen. So this is the cause of wondering. This is the cause of bad decisions. His lack of attention to spiritual things and loss of sight. Now you just mark it down, ladies and gentlemen. Every bad decision you make comes because you did not give attention to the things we ought to give attention to, and same with me. Second of all is a compromise. Right. Well, he gets down towards Egypt, and the Bible says, they're journeying down there, and Abram's thinking, I've never been to Egypt before, but I'll bet they start looking at my wife who's hot. I know what I'll do. You don't think people don't do that? Yeah. They begin to, now he's going to compromise. He's married to this woman. And he realizes, you know, they may want her to be their wife, and I'd rather her go be their wife than me be dead. I mean, that's a fair trade. I say that's a fair trade. Do you know whenever you began to go south in your Christian walk, you began to justify wrong living? Wrong. People make light of sin when we head south. So, it was inspired by the lust of the flesh. The Bible says the lust of the flesh. Now you say, well, I don't see Abraham lusting after the flesh. No, but he was sure them Egyptians were going to lust after his good-looking wife. They, in fact, if you look at it here, the Bible says, behold, now I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. I mean, this gal hadn't aged. Age wasn't her enemy at 65. I said age wasn't her enemy. She didn't have all the products you may have had and available to all of people today. But let me tell you, age wasn't her enemy. Things were looking well for Sarai. And Abraham's thinking, you know what? Them men may have a little bit of lust of the flesh like others have, and I better come up with a plan. So it was inspired, this compromise is inspired by the flesh, and it is imagined by the lust of the eyes. Notice the Bible says in verse 12, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee. The lust of the flesh is they're going to want her physically. They're going to see her. They're going to covet her. They're going to want what is mine. And then the instruction is instructed by the very pride of life. And he said, I've got to come up with a plan to, listen, I have to come up with a plan to protect my wife where I'm going. Well, I thought maybe God was in charge of all of this. And see, whenever you're out of God's will, and that's where He's going to be, you have to do your own business of protecting yourself and providing for yourself. Because you're out of God's will. And ladies and gentlemen, he came up with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and this great idea on how to protect him and her. I can see him. Sarah, I've been thinking. We're getting ready to go down south. And I've never been down there before. But I think since you're so nice looking, since you're such a lady, since you're so pretty and well built, maybe it would be wise for us to not be married. And if anybody asks, then why don't you just say you're my sister? In part, that wasn't all untrue. She was his half-sister. Now, I know in our day and age that's gross, but back here, the pickings were slim. Thank God God made a law. Can't marry your kinsman anymore. Amen? And so, he said, you're fine. And I think this would be the best approach to what we're going to do. Do you realize what a compromise this was? Can you imagine even her? The Bible records this twice. I don't want to die for you. That's what he said. No sense in me dying and you getting to live queen of Egypt. So in order to protect you and to protect me, here's what we're going to do. And she went along with it. Now, if you think about this, this not only was said to Sarai, but this compromise affected everybody. See, Abram had his nephew Lot, and he had all of this company with him as well. And they had to be thinking, what is this guy thinking about? Because whenever Pharaoh came up, or the princes, and they said, hey, is she your wife? And he said, no. Don't you know? They go, did you hear what he said? Well, we'll take her to be my wife. Abraham's living a bachelor life. So the compromise. Then the cost. In verse number 14, down through, the Bible says, happened just like he said. I wonder if Abraham had went in there and said, no, she's my wife. This probably wouldn't have happened. Well, why would it? Because when Pharaoh realized she was his wife, he didn't know that before. He said, take your wife. What are you doing, boy? So we have a cause, and we have a compromise, and we have a cost. It was a blinding cost. No wife. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we have no idea what we're getting ourselves into in this world and in the compromise of this world in bad decisions. You say, well, so let's read it. The Bible says,
the Egyptians took her, but look at verse number 16. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. Well, preacher, I know it's costing me my wife. I know it's costing me my children. But look how good it is. Look how much money I got. Look how much I'm worth now. Wow. Isn't that interesting? But you know what? Bad decisions will always cause us to compromise what's right for what we see today. Man, he's treated well. All them animals, all them maidens, all them men servants, all that money he got. Man, he came out there looking real good for a while. Now, he didn't have a wife. Pay attention. I know what dozing is. Amen. Pay attention. I mean, there are Christians today who say, well, preacher, you know what? We have a good house. We have good incomes, got good cars. You know, the retirement outlook's looking pretty good for us. And boy, everything's looking good. But they lost their children. They lost their home, their marriage. They lost their walk with God. But boy, I'll tell you what, things are looking good, though. Remember that losing sight? Yeah, yeah. And so the cost was a blinding cost. He lost sight of what was right. He lost sight of, listen, the Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that this prosperity that we gain down here will be lost one day. And it was a blistering cost. Man, I don't think Pharaoh was happy when he came in there, pulled up a chair and said, oh, Abram, I found out she's your wife, buddy. Just take. No, I think he was pretty ticked off. What are you doing? What are you doing acting like this? Hey, let me tell you what. Listen, if you're going to make a bad decision and go the way of the world, then you expect God to rebuke you for it pretty harshly. The way of the transgressor is hard. But thank God the story didn't end there. And it doesn't have to end there with you, with bad decisions. Say, I already made a bad decision. Okay. Well, what's he going to do in Egypt? He's down in Egypt. So how can he not, how can he needs a change. Right. I said you need to change. You say, well, I can't change the fact that I'm in Egypt. Well, you don't have to stay there. Well, I can't change the fact that I went there. Yeah, but you don't have to stay there. Look at chapter 13 just real quick, and I'm just almost done here, and not that that means a whole lot, but just so you'll know. I didn't start preaching until 5 after anyway, so it's only been 30 minutes. And chapter 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt. Well, that's what you need to do. And it's what I need to do. When we make bad decisions, you and I need to change the way where we're living. My shoe's untied, sorry. And so the Bible says he came up out of Egypt. If you have made a bad decision, then you need to take the personal responsibility and start the change. Amen. Well, I'm down here in Egypt. What's God going to do? Zero. Amen. Zero. Amen. God didn't put you down there. Amen. And guess whose job it is to get you out? Amen. You. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Well, I'd like God to help me. Well, God will help you, but God's not going to do it for you. So the change. He said he came up out of Egypt, and Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went through the on his sojournings from the south even to Bethel. Now he's headed north. Now he's headed up. Praise the Lord. Up is good. And the Bible says that unto the place where the tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. It was a spiritual repentance. Spiritual repentance. I am in a heap of a mess. I am in a place where I ought not to be. I am I am compromising my beliefs, my principles, my family. This is, well, I'm prospering, but boy, I'll tell you what, this what I've got is not worth what I'm giving up to get it. And here's spiritual repentance. He said, all right, I'm going up out of Egypt. I'm going to tell you what, spiritual repentance is needed when you make bad decisions. You say, preacher, if I make bad, you know what? Hey, listen, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Let me tell you something. I've been pastoring here long enough, I've been a Christian long enough to know this. When some people make bad decisions, the result of that on other people is unchanging. That's why we tell parents, keep your children out of the things of the world. Man, I'll tell you what, over the last 3 years, I don't know so much this year, but on the first 2 years of camp, the last couple of years, and I don't know about this year, we had some of our young people that really made some decisions and that I thought were good spiritual decisions. But I'll tell you what, a kind reproof here, some of our parents wasn't as excited about those separation commitments and those sanctification commitments and such like that some of those children made. And as a result of that, some of them went back. And as a result of that, some of them are now got there as Lot set his face towards Sodom.
That's right.
Got his face towards the world now. And you can tell it. I can tell it. I could call one of our young people that is present today that I have looked at several times while I've been preaching. That maybe 2 years ago, maybe last year, really may have had a heart stirred for God. But you can just tell by being around them. Now y'all are wondering who it is. You can tell by being around them, by watching, by listening, that one day, unless God graciously intervenes, they will take more steps towards the world and less steps towards God. You say, well, preacher, man, we've made a bad mistake. Then spiritual repentance is right. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, there are some serious consequences. You know where Lot had his desire for the world was? Right down here.
Amen.
Sure was. The Bible says it's spiritual renewal. He got down to the altar. He got back to the place where he ought to have been in the first place, Bethel, the house of God. That's amazing when people get away from God and God starts dealing with them about life. And you know what they always say? Need to get back in church. They recognize the church as a place where we meet with God at. Now, they make light of it when they're not out in church. Well, I don't go down to church anyway. You don't have to go to church, worship God. But boy, whenever they got in trouble, guess who? They better call the church. Why? Because that's where we get a hold of God at. And there was spiritual remembrance. Turn over to chapter 14 for just a minute. And the Bible says, see, he's going to have an encounter. Now, spiritual-minded people may not always make the right decisions, but they can surely learn from them. Chapter 14, Lot has moved on to Sodom, and Sodom has been taken captive, and Lot and all of his people, and Abram hears about it, and he goes and rescues him. And in chapter 14, he meets Melchizedek first on his way back, and that great meeting there in the desert. But look in chapter 14 and verse number 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Take the riches to thyself. See, he destroyed all that crowd. He had it all. But notice what Abram said. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latch, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which are with me. Here's what he said. Hey, I've done been in that situation where the king of where Pharaoh, king of Egypt, tried to sucker me into enjoying the prosperity of Egypt, and I'm surely not going to take your riches over God's riches. He did learn from the bad mistake. I'm not going that direction anymore. Maybe Lot's down in there because of me anyway. And then he's going to take Hagar, the Egyptian servant. Wonder where he got her at.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's always sneaky and sly into getting you to think of things and do things and just give you a little bit of baggage along the way just in case there's a prime opportunity for you to make another bad decision. He wants to have somebody available. Sarah can't have kids. She said, hey, here's a handmaid. Here's this Hagar the Egyptian. Hey, interesting, isn't it? Bad decisions. You know what the sad thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Most of us aren't really, really, because of our pride, aren't really thinking we're making bad decisions. But the Bible does say one day we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be judged out of the books, out of the Bible, out of the things we've done. And we're going to find out that a lot of the things that we thought was fine, we just clapped about, gave a nod of approval on, all of that was good, and it's going to burn up. So, let me give you one verse. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 9, I believe it is. Joshua chapter 9, and then we're going to read this verse, and we're going to have an invitation. The invitation is not just for people to sit around here and do nothing. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can we not make so many bad decisions in our life? Just one verse. Just one verse. Joshua is getting ready to make a bad decision that would haunt him and the children of Israel for the rest of their duration. They're going to make a league with a group of people that God said to destroy.
That's right.
And the Bible says here in Joshua chapter 9 and verse number... verse number 14. And the men took of their victuals, and notice what the Bible says, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Joshua and the children of Israel, they saw the dried up bread, the old clothes, and they said, we got this one. We're smart enough to figure out that these people are from a far land and have no threat to us. Little did they know they was less than 20 miles away and they were the enemy. And you know what? They just said, here's what we're going to do. Hey, listen, pay attention. This is what we are going to do on our own. And we're going to make a league with them. And it wasn't but 2 days later or three, and they said, hey, you guys lied to us. Yeah. And the congregation was pretty upset. They said, well, we can't do nothing about it now. See, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't ask God what to do in your life, you'll make bad decisions.
Amen.
Everybody, every one of us makes bad decisions when we don't seek the counsel of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Bless the time here. Now, Lord, the message was just to our hearts again about bad decisions. We think about people in our church and present today, some not present, some of the past and some of the decisions. And we think our pride is such an abomination. God, we let that pride overwhelm us and we just do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. And we end up at a great cost. All the prosperity seems to outweigh it sometimes. But you said that the end is death. Sad time, God, for many Christians. This world is sometimes acting much better than they are. And I pray today, God, help us. Help everyone that's in this room today. Not to make any bad decisions, but God, to seek counsel at the mouth of God. God, there's some things we ought just to be doing. We ought not to be drifting towards the south anyway. We ought not to be drifting towards the world and the ways of the world. But God, we ought to be on a journey to the altar. Stay there at Bethel and Ai, where you're at, and make our sacrifices which are pleasing to you, a broken and a contrite spirit. A body that's holy and just and right. So, Father, help us today. In Christ's name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Miss Rachel's playing the hymn of invitation. If you need to do business at the altar, you do business at the altar. If not, then that's fine. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a host of people today. A host of people today. Bad decisions. Bad decisions. And one decision, one bad decision to me seems like it's just easier to make a second bad decision. And then a second one seems like it's easier to make a third one. About like Adam, we better sew us some leaves on and hide ourselves and do all this stuff. I mean, bad decisions. Here's Abram, he keeps going down and he says, you know what, we better make up this good lie. It ain't all a lie, but you know, it ain't all the truth. And I don't want to die for you, and I don't want you to, you know, feel bad about it. So let's just do this. Let's just say that you're my sister, and it won't be all a lie, and you know, it'll go all right. Yeah. You know, in that Egyptian experience, God never spoke to Abram one time. And you let me tell you something, friend. When you're in Egypt, God never speaks to you.